Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. I don't know.
I put rainbow rocking chairs up here.
That's a possibility. I'm not going to do any of that right now, but it is really nice out here. I need to carry that table under the deck, don't I? Right now?
Not right now.
Yeah, can you manage the legs? Are they empty?
No.
Okay, they need to be emptied.
Why?
Well, okay, we can just set it up, can't we, the way it is? I believe the birds are enjoying the bird feeders. Have you seen the apples on the tree? Hey, Cindy, look. You know what that is in there? Right there. Set them down. Well,
put that under the deck.
You want to? Look over there. Blackberries. Coming in.
That's a rose.
No, that's the blackberries growing in it, though, because that rose, that's a wild rose. It never blooms. Those are blackberries growing in it. Hey, buddy.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Let's see. Whoa. Sorry, just need to give me one of them. It's hard to balance. Just hold that, yeah. Let's see. Which way do they go? Is that right? Okay. I got it now. Just move Odie out of the way.
Come on.
Odie, go the other way. I used a few of them for the tomatoes or whatever. That soil in them is no good.
It's sour.
Yeah.
We need to throw it all out, throw it away. The pots.
What's wrong with the pots? Aren't they all right?
Well, some of them ain't going away.
Well, I mean, we can, the ones that are...
That's not the pot.
That just needs thrown out, yeah. But the ones that aren't cracked like that, we can keep them. Well, let me just, you want me to take it and throw it in the woods back near the soil?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me get them. Yeah, I'm going out there.
What has it been?
I just stay. Peacey. No, it hadn't been yet.
I already got them out here and been here.
Okay. How about the ones down in the shrubbery? Did you water your flowers down there?
I was going to ask you.
Well, I'd go ahead and water them all while we're at it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and water it. That thing is spraying. That thing will wet you, though. Not careful. Well, begonias look good, don't they? I wouldn't overwater the pepper, I don't think, Sandy. Oh, look, bee run up. Tigger was back there.
And you know more than that?
Yeah, I wasn't saying that. I was just saying I wouldn't look at those boogers. Yeah. Do you think we did the wrong thing by feeding her? I know, but I mean, do you think it'll make her not ever go back to Cindy's in the corner? Probably. So you watered everything out yonder?
Yeah. I mean, that tree is taking off.
I know, it's a lot bigger than the other ones. Something's making that turn yellow.
Man, it's dry?
I'm just not sure. When it rains...
It's all through it like that,
though. Well, it's got a lot of new growth on it, though. See it?
Yeah.
One thing I'll do is... One thing I will do, Cindy, is I will put the feed out, the spikes, as soon as we get some rain, okay?
It's getting bigger around than the
room. How about that? And I remember when we moved it from out there and it wasn't about a foot high, and now it's, what would you say, 4 feet, maybe? Careful. On those, I would just water around them.
Yeah, you do it.
Well, you don't want to. Spill it up. Let it.
That's right. That's right. It's going to ruin the full mud.
That's slow. Is that okay? I don't want to overwater them either. Peppers like it dry, and so do tomatoes. They like water, but they like a little bit of dry. Of course, tomorrow is going to be 90 degrees, so... You like my cat litter planter? Cat litter pan planter?
No, it's right out.
Why?
I just know my own in it, that it's filmed. Did you water it down?
No. It had been so long since it had been used. We need to start feeding this stuff, Cindy, before long. Before it's water. How about the porch? Is that everything?
Yeah. No, I haven't watered them up there. It might be in here. Let me see if it's in here.
Okay. Push that door to, if you don't mind. There we go. Yeah, Tigger was behind the bushes and Cindy started watering the stuff and she ran out.
That bitch?
Yeah. Be careful. See you, Odie.
That needs water.
Yeah.
I can get it.
Well, that wasn't so wise, was it?
I could have done it.
Yeah, you do it.
It's still wet today. Tell me what to do because I can't see it. It's too high up there. Yeah, you take it and just put it where you want it and I'll hold the hose.
Well, did I already water this? I didn't let me have that
hosta. The hosta's alright. The hosta's okay, because... Okay. What's next? I am standing at the end of my driveway waiting for my GPS unit to sync. It's been on for about the last 3 minutes. Sometimes, actually, in the house, it will sink. And then it may or may not be synced by the time I get outside, so. But this morning, it hasn't synced yet. And I think it just did. So, I believe that means we're ready to go. Let me tighten my shoes. Make sure the old laces are like they ought to be. And I think that we're ready to get on the road and get this run going. Cindy and I have been working out in the yard this week, as you can tell. Had an old table up on the porch. They had hollow legs, old plastic table, and you actually had to put something in the legs to weight it down, and then you snap the legs in it. Every time you pick the legs or pick the table up and move it at least a little bit, the leg or legs would fall off and what's inside would dump out. Well, we chose to use old clay, not old, but clay cat litter, say that real fast five times at 5:45 in the morning. And so every time we would pick it up, leg would fall off and the cat litter would fall out of the leg. So it was under the porch and we had to move it under our deck, which is what we did. And of course we've planted peppers and tomatoes and flowers, getting time to get all those items watered. And they're growing. The tomatoes have blooms on them already. So we're looking forward to that. The Better Boy brand have blooms, but the beefsteaks don't have blooms yet. But they're both growing. And I've got those planted in plastic bins there at the end of the driveway. The end of it closest to the house, along with several pots with peppers and things like that in it. So we moved the table and got everything watered, and everything's growing well in the yard. I'll give you a real quick update. The apple trees are pretty full of apples, but I need to go back like I did last year and thin out the number of apples that I've got in certain spots. In other words, you don't want 5 apples growing in a spot on a young tree anyway, because the weight will break the limbs, and even at the best those limbs get heavy. Now, I did not get them trimmed like I needed to this year, so we're going to have the same problem that we had last year. But, you know, c'est la vie. It's my fault, so we'll have to prop them up, but we still have the sticks that we used to prop up the limbs last year, so maybe we can use those again. Fig bush is starting to get quite a bit of greenery around the base of it. And so we hope to have figs this year. I hope to have more than we did last year, because the winter was a good one, I think. Although it was cold, that's right. But it was wet. And so far this spring is shaping up to be on what will soon, let's see. Yeah, we're in spring. It's shaping up to be fairly wet, which is always good for growing things. So that's good as well. And we had blackberries along the edge of the woods, separating my house from the houses behind us, on the street behind us. If you stand in my backyard, it's fairly level, and then it slopes up quite dramatically with a small patch of woods. During the winter, you can see through them, and you can during the summer, too. But they thicken up, obviously, the leafage, foliage, during the summer. But there's a house directly up there, too. When we first came here 8 years ago, I think it was 8 that we moved into the house, something like that.
there were blackberries all across the back edge of the yard. And over time, they've died out. But now, we noticed as we walked around the day I recorded the earlier audio, man, we've got blackberries. Don't have any berries yet, but blooms all over the place, and we're going to have blackberries, no question of that. I think I'll put a picture on the blog of the blackberry grove, and again, no berries on it, but we do have plenty of blooms and much more bush with blooms than we've had. I really thought they were about dead, but there's a rambling rose back there, and they've grown up in it, and this year, they have just spread evidently, and they're coming in like gangbusters. Talking to my mother-in-law, who helped me can the peppers, and if peppers do well, we're going to have tons to can this year, which I hope we do, because I love giving them away. But she said for to make blackberry jelly, or any kind of berry jelly, you need about a peck of berries. And if you get a peck of berries, you can actually make jelly, quite a bit of jelly. She said more than you could eat in a year, by far. And if you want to make jam, it takes a little more. So I think what we're going to do when they come in, we're going to make some blackberry jelly. I'm going to get to be good at this kind of stuff after a bit. I told her, though, I said, I can see why people like to grow their own fruit and vegetables and things. And I can see, not just of necessity, but enjoying canning, putting stuff back for a rainy day. So we're going to do that as well. And, of course, we'll be reporting on that, the blackberries especially. Now, if the figs did like they should, we would do fig preserves. And I'll let you know how all that's going. You say, wow, Roland, you've got a huge yard. Actually, we don't. We live on just over a third of an acre. But blackberries aren't really, well, I guess technically that's my property. And the other things are not, don't take up that much room. Fig bush, for instance, can get huge, but we cut it back every year. So it's really not that big of a yard, but I think we've made good use of our space. So we'll give you a report on that, but I did just want to open with some audio of us working in the yard. It's that time of year. It is spring, and speaking of which, we had rain most of the day yesterday. Picked up 4/10 in the old rain gauge. We had 7/10 about a week before that, over a couple of days. And right now we're running, see, last time I looked, we're probably running close to an inch over for the year, which 3 years ago we were in severe, severe drought. Worst drought in 100 years for our area. The lakes literally dried up. Maybe not completely, but they were down 60% of the level. The docks were completely in the dry, and then it began to rain, and once it started raining, we've had good rain, basically pretty good rain ever since, so we broke that cycle somehow. But speaking of spring, I didn't want to give an update on the weather, what it's like this morning. After the rain yesterday, as I wake up and am out here, left the house about 10 to 6. It's right now mostly cloudy. The moon is quite bright. Looks like it's maybe half moon. And it's quite bright. Clouds are not so thick I'd call it overcast, but a lot of clouds, and the moon itself is lit up very well. Good morning, Mr. Moon. Tell you a real quick joke. Really corny. Might want to fast forward. Had a guy in a church where I was before. An older man that coined himself as being a comedian. He really liked the attention. But he told me a joke one time. I actually told him in a group setting. Corny jokes are funnier in a group setting. If laughed or funny at all. But he said there was an accident. Car accident. And they didn't have a case or had to have a court hearing about it. And so he was brought in as a witness simply because he told the court that he knew something about the case, what had really happened. And so as they began to question people about the accident, they got to him and asked him where he was at the time of the accident to be a witness. And he said, well, I was at such and such a place. And the lawyer said, well, that's 2 miles away. How far can you see? And he said, how far is it to the moon? It's too early to be telling corny jokes like that this morning. I still think that's funny. I don't know why. I know it's a very bad joke probably, but pretty funny to me, so I can see a long ways this morning, however far it is to the moon. 186,000 miles, no, that's the speed of light per second. I don't remember how far it is to the moon, but anyway, I can see it. I see the moon and the moon sees me, but it is getting light. It was 62 when I left. The humidity is clearly up, calling for a high today of 86. Yesterday with rain, we made it up to 80. And right now out here, it is humid. It's probably 6 o'clock now. The humidity is really up. So, I'm dressed very lightly today. Shorts, one shirt, and my hat as always. No gloves or anything like that, of course. Incidentally, I've heard a couple of podcasters recently talking about having issues with their nipples bleeding. While I'm thinking about it, I'll share this with you as well. I've heard about nip guards and using band-aids or whatever. I think I'm speaking mostly to the men here. But I use Body Glide. It looks like a deodorant, and if you'll smear that across your nipples, I've used it now for probably 6 months every time I run, even during the marathon, and I've never had issues with that. I remember last year when I volunteered at the marathon, we had a lot of people coming through with bleeding like that, and Stephen over at the Devoted Runner had 13.1 mile recently. Way to go, Stephen. And he was talking about his nipple was tender from the chafing, I guess. Well, Stephen and anyone else listening, Body Glide, that is the brand name. It's worth looking into. Much simpler than any type of appliance, so to speak. You just smear it on and you're good to go. So that was in my mind and I wanted to share that with you. Also, Stephen mentioned in a recent podcast of the Devoted Runner that I hoped to break 20 minutes for 5K, and that's why I've called this the 20-minute runner. That's true. And then he went on and said someday he believed I'd do it. Well, technically I've already done it. Back when I was 15, I think, might have been 16, I think it was 15. Ran a 1826, something like that. I can't approach that now. But Stephen, I just wanted to set the record straight. I've already broken 20 minutes, but I'd like to do it again. Can I? I don't know. Am I gonna try? Yeah. But I'm actually finding that a bigger goal of mine is to break 4 hours for the marathon, which is very doable. And he described on iTunes about the show, he said, if you're looking for a 20-minute podcast, this ain't it. He was questioning, why did I call it the 20-minute runner at that point? Well, that was the reason. I want to break 20 minutes again for 5K. But maybe I should change the name to the 4-hour runner. If I'm going to try to break 4 hours for the marathon, let's just hope that's the goal and not the length of the show. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. It's like a... kind of like Odie, but he's bigger and uglier. Anyway. So, Steven, I just want to set the record straight on that. Not that it matters. Alright, I do appreciate race reports. And had a race report from Connie, Ohio cowgirl, via Twitter. That's how we connected, and Connie sent me a race report of the Country Music Half Marathon in Nashville, Saturday, April 24th, a couple weeks ago. Incidentally, if I understand correctly, Nashville is having a lot of problems with flooding, so we need to be thinking and remembering those folks in prayer. Actually, my niece and her husband live in Nashville. She's a pharmacist, and he's just finished dental school, I think. But need to remember them. But Connie sent along this report, and I'm glad to share it with you.
The drive to Nashville started about 8 a.m. on Friday. Except for the rain, the trip down was uneventful. Luckily, Hubby is very organized, and we were able to make the packet pickup at the Nashville Convention Center by about 4 p.m. I was dreading that, but it was so organized that it took us less than 20 minutes. What was great was a group of high school girls cheering for the runners who were making their way to the packet pickup points. The t-shirt is nice. I saw a lot of people already wearing theirs, so I already knew what they looked like before we got to the table. Again, everything was so organized it took no time at all to pick up the tees and the goodie bag. We headed into the expo, buying another t-shirt and a magnet from the Brooks section. I think the thing that amazed me the most was the amounts of money changing hands everywhere we went. We left the Brooks section and attempted to walk around the expo, but being exhausted from the drive, we only lasted about an hour before heading for our hotel. I had a couple of pieces of cheese pizza for dinner, hydrated well, and was in bed by 10. Sadly, sleep was elusive, but I knew it would be. I was really nervous. I get lost so easily, and I'm really not good in crowds, but I wanted to run this race. We were up at 3:30 and on our way by 5. We were only 8 minutes away from the parking, so we figured we'd get there in time. Traffic was horrendous, dumping us near the parking at the Tennessee Titans Stadium just before the race was to start. I still had to catch a shuttle to get to the starting line. By the time we got there, all the corrals had started, and I was at the rear, even behind the walkers. Okay, I have two gripes I'll insert here. Number one, porta potties. Oh my gosh. I know runners aren't pigs, but you wouldn't know that from the bathrooms. They were disgusting. I've never seen anything so disgusting in my life. Number two, walkers. Please, please, please move to the sides. Right or left, or both, is fine. Just allow the runners to get through. This is not the ones in the rear, but the ones further up in the race, and the Galloway walkers. Don't just stop and start walking with no warning when there are runners all around. Hubby said I was very last to start, and that I was near the middle within the first couple miles. The music was good and loud, but could it drown out the cheering of the spectators along the route? Even though my times don't show it, I felt strong, even on the hills until about mile 8. I decided to test another porta potty, and it took almost 10 minutes to get back on the road. I again had to fight my way through the walkers. My end time was 2:45 and some change, which was terrible as far as I was concerned, but I think I know where part of the problem was. I mean, besides hills and walkers. My Nike Plus is off. It read 16 plus miles at the end of the race, so my next purchase or gift request will be a much more accurate device like a Garmin. I also need to mention the weather. It was hot and humid. We have been watching the weather report in the Nashville race site for 2 days, expecting the race directors to cancel the race. What they did was to divert the marathoners with times over 4 hours to finish on the half course. I know they were disappointed, but it was the right thing to do as the storm hit within moments of me finishing the race and picking up my medal. It became a terrible storm within minutes. So, though my time was much slower than I was expecting, I learned a lot. I'm sure it would have been better if I'd had someone physically running at my side, and I did have a personal podcast from a dear friend, Air Force Ted from You Don't Have to Run Alone, and his beautiful daughters playing in my ear almost the entire way. It helped so much. My thanks go to Matt, the crazy runner, for the opportunity to run this race. To Ted, you don't have to run along, for running in my ear most of the way. To my hubby, who was amazing through the whole experience and has told me several times just how proud of me he is. As well to my friends and family and my runner friends on Twitter who sent me good wishes, followed me online during the race, and sent me positive comments afterwards. Y'all are just awesome. Well, that was my first road race, and thanks for sharing it with me. Connie, Ohio Cowgirl.
I'd like to add some observations to that, or basically reiterate some observations that she shared. If you're walking in a race, I don't care what distance it is, I agree with Connie, especially if you're run walking, don't just stop. Even if you're planning to run a race and you have to walk for whatever reason, don't just stop in the front of a bunch of people. Get to the side, as she, I think, very rightly points out. You don't want to cause an accident, and you don't want to create a problem. So, walkers, move out of the way. Also, based on the problem that she had with her Nike Plus, I would certainly make a recommendation, and I agree with her again. Get a good device on time, or for time and distance. And I've read some negative information about the Nike Plus, and it's the same thing she complained about. It does not measure distance accurately. So, plus I could be wrong, maybe you can buy a foot pod to go in your shoe or something, but I'm thinking the only way it works is if you have Nike shoes that will hold the device. Goes into a cavity in the midsole. But anyway, I've read complaints that reiterate what Connie shared. So, I want to just remind you what I use, and I won't go into detail, but I'll put a link at the blog, Timex GPS system, which works very well for me. It doesn't sync with the computer, if that's important to you. But it certainly works accurately. Gives me time, gives me distance, gives me real pace. All right now, he's growling at me as I come back by. So I'll put a link there in the blog. And while Garmin is like the creme la creme of the GPS systems, the one that I use certainly is more than adequate. If you don't mind writing things down by hand, which I don't, as I mentioned a couple of episodes back, but we'll put a link to that. But what I'm getting at is, if you don't need a lot of bells and whistles, you just need good accurate information on your current pace, average pace, time, distance, you can set it to keep you on a certain pace. It'll beep if you get too high, too fast rather, or beep if you get too slow. You can do that as well. If you want to do that, you can do that with the one I use. Now there are others, but if you just want a generally accurate device without a lot of bells and whistles, but it's totally accurate, consider it. Go to the blog, check out the link, take a look at it, and incidentally, it's at least a third of the mid-range Garmin's for its price. Won't do everything a Garmin will do, but I'm not sure how much of all that I absolutely need. I'm not a minimalist, but I certainly see the benefit in not getting attached to too much technology. Although certainly I'm very attached to my GPS, but it does the basic things very well. But not all the fancy things that mean something, I guess, if you're a seriously competitive runner. But to me, mine worked fine. Even for the marathon, I'm still using it. I thought about getting a Garmin, but I don't have $300 or $400 laying around right now to do it. that I can use for that. And this is working. So, as I said, I don't want to get too complicated with it. So I'll continue to use my Timex. I would encourage you to check it out if you're interested in a cheaper alternative. It's worked well for me, even for the marathon. You are listening to episode 51 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Talking about the weather that she mentioned in the email I read recently, can't verify the accuracy of it, but it said that the volcano in Iceland dumped 5 years worth of carbon gases into the atmosphere. That was based on US figures. In other words, from what we've tried to do the last 5 years, Mother Nature, that is God, undid it in 4 days. And they said the prairie fires this summer here in the U.S. and just the fires out west that we will inevitably have this summer, they will reduce 2 years of what we've attempted to do. They do that every year. I guess my point is, we think we can control the weather, and some people want to claim that humanity's every disaster like that that happens is caused by the humans. No, nature contributes its generous share as well, and we need to all live sensibly, be good environmentalists, but let's don't get overboard with it. Don't drive any more than you have to. Recycle, reuse, I'm all over that. But let's just be sensible about it and realize we need to do the best we can, but we don't need to, in my opinion at least, put down a people or hold them back because of those issues. Now, I don't agree with spewing massive amounts of carbons into the air from automobiles and things like that that are happening in some countries that obviously don't care. So don't email me thinking, oh yeah, Roland's messed up on that. All I'm saying is we need to lighten up in our attitudes about it, because what we do, nature can undo in one violent moment. We need to accept that. Can't control nature. Can't control God, but we can be good stewards and just hope that what we're doing is making a difference. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying any more than that, but I think sometimes it's a bit ridiculous that we think we can just take care of the world's problems by using energy efficient light bulbs. The problems we've got in this world are much greater than simply the issues surrounding global warming, which I will say this, I'm definitely not convinced that it's man-made. We contribute to it, probably, but as I just stated, nature contributes a generous amount as well. So, that's all I'm going to say about that. If I turn you away because of that, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel about it. And I'm all for protecting what we have. I really am. We recycle, as I've mentioned. We use the bulbs. We try to watch our driving. Have energy efficient appliances. But do the best you can, and don't freak out about it that the world's going to get so hot it's going to melt. It's going to melt one day, but not from anything we're doing, I don't think. But anyway, okay, getting back to her race report, I did go online and find an apology from the race director, which I thought was nice. Some days it just doesn't work out. But it says, helping you successfully complete the country music marathon or half marathon have been both a goal of yours and ours for several months leading into last weekend's event. Unfortunately, the severe weather predicted during the days leading up to the race day prevented us from helping most marathoners attain their goal. Due to severe weather in Nashville on race day, marathoners were asked to divert from the course and were unable to complete the full 26.2 miles. While we understand how disappointing it was for all parties involved, this decision was made in the best interest and safety of the participants, volunteers, and spectators. And while I can understand how irritating that would be when you plan for a marathon especially, and then you were diverted and I'm not sure how far they ran, might have just been a half, I can understand that. But you know, sometimes things just don't work out and you have to just get on with your life. I think that's what they were doing there. So thank you for that report, Ohio Cowgirl. And then it goes on. We apologize for the disappointment experienced on race day, and I hope that you understand how difficult of a decision it was for our organization. In the end, as lightning flashed throughout the greater downtown region throughout the morning and afternoon, we are confident the right decision was made. You heard Sammy and I talk about getting caught in lightning. If they were dealing with severe lightning, they did the right thing, I believe. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, and that's sad. I'll post a link to the Country Music Marathon and the half at the blog, but I did want to just mention, Connie, did you say the half was your first race, or was it your first half? I understood you say your first race. Wow. It's hard to believe you didn't run at least a 10K before that, maybe even a 5 and a 10. You had a great effort, and don't be discouraged. There's always another race. At least you're safe. You finished injury free. And also, you learned a lot. You'll run your next race even better prepared. But again, thanks for that report. We are about 39 minutes into this run, and we're humming along at a 9:58. Just running comfortably at this point. So 9:58 is, for me, that's comfortable. Maybe just a little slower than what I probably could do, but we're down to 9:57 now. But anyway, I could hold this pace for, I believe, a long time. So we're fairly comfortable today. So far, it's turned out to be a good run. We've covered about 4 miles, getting ready to turn around. You know, I want to just say a couple comments about the RunNet community, this virtual running community that you're a part of because you're listening. It allowed me to share that report from Connie via Twitter because Connie is one of my followers on Twitter, which incidentally, if you're not following me on Twitter, I would certainly encourage you to do that. Just go to Twitter. My handle is the 20-minute runner, the 20-minute runner. I'm going to turn around and keep you updated. I'm not on Twitter all the time, but a couple times a week I'll give a little update. And so we welcome you, but RunNet community, virtual community, allowed she and I to connect like we've done with many, many people. So I encourage you to embrace it and be a part of it. However that means to you, and obviously by listening to podcasts, you're part of that community, as I said. I'm now a member of the RunCast TV community. There's a link and a graphic at the blog. Check it out. I'm not exactly sure what that means. All I know is there's 25 podcasters who are members, and so I joined. I think it gives me the ability to actually upload video, which we've done very little video. It's on YouTube, of course, and some of the blogs from races, but I don't know, that would be pretty neat. I'm not sure how I would go about it. Maybe I would just get out and hold the camera for 5 minutes and record some audio as well. I'm not sure. Morning. But anyway, we are a member of RunCast TV. Now, I do know this. If you will follow the link there at the badge or the graphic for that, you can actually view quite a bit of videos, which you might be interested in doing. But that's also part of this virtual community. Buckeye's new interface is also up and running. I think we mentioned that last episode. In my case, rather than going to Buckeye and trying to figure out how to find the 20-minute runner, if you go to the blog on the left where I have the most recent training report, you can, where it says view my entire log, you can click it and go over to the Buckeye site. And from there, you can go back as many months as you want to go, and if you will, drag the cursor over a workout, to give you all the information about that. At least all the info that I put there. So that's pretty neat. If you don't use Buckeye, looking for an online training buddy, online log, I would encourage you to go to BuckeyeOutdoors.com. And I think you will find that beneficial, enjoyable. But you can click on that. You can see what my goals are there. I do have a goal to break 1 hour 40 minutes for the half at the Cannonball in October. I don't know if I can do it or not, but I believe I can. So don't get hurt. Train properly. Maybe even a little more intensity than I did leading up to the last one. I think that's a possibility. But if I don't, it's alright. But if you can see my goals, what I've been doing, I would encourage you to use that. Also, you can check your stats over a period of time, which I didn't realize it would do this. See, I'm still mucking around with stuff. But I clicked on it and thought it'd be neat just to share some brief stats on what it told me about my running that I had not compiled, but which are just there. Past week, I ran 23.80 miles. That was 3 hours, 41 minutes, 59 seconds. My average speed was 6.43 miles per hour. And my average pace for the last week was 9.19 over the course of that week. Past month, I went 65.11 miles, which was down a little bit because recovering from the marathon, I cut way back, if you remember. That equaled out to be 10 hours, 17 minutes, 37 seconds. Average speed was 6.33 miles per hour. And average pace for that month was 9.28 a minute. And then all time for at least what I've recorded on Buckeye. And it's probably, I'm guessing, 14, 15 months. I've run 1,058.42 miles, and that's 161 hours, 15 minutes, and 21 seconds. Average speed over all that, 6.51 miles per hour, and average pace over the last year plus, average pace has been 9.12 per mile, so I'll take it. Anyway, check out Buckeye. Those are just some things that I want to share with you or remind you of again about the virtual running community that help you to connect, help us all to connect, and can be very meaningful. Hang with me. We have about 2/10 of a mile to go. As soon as the school bus gets by. We're running in the grass at the moment, but now we're back on the road. Felt really good the next little bit. I actually charged the hills, last two hills. Put my head down, increase my foot turnover, and while I didn't increase the stride length, I've been concentrating lately on short stride length, sort of landing with a nice heel down, toe off. I believe that'll help me if I can improve my form with some of these issues I've been dealing with, the knees maybe. Hip especially, but quicker foot turnover. Anyway, got about a tenth left, running back up a slight incline, past the street just before you get to my house, where the two hills are, and for the first time in probably a couple months, I feel like airing it out just a bit. So, hang on, if you're running, pick up the pace for just a few more seconds. Don't lag behind. Pick it up. Come on. You can do it. Just a little bit further. And then we'll call it. Dig deep. Hang on. Keep pushing. Now let's push to the mailbox. Just a little bit. Controlled sprinting. And we're done. Whew. Okay. Didn't that feel good? I know I gotta wrap this up. But we'll give you a report on that in just a minute. If we share your race report on the show, the written report will also be at the blog's sister page, which is linked from the blog. It's called 20 Minute Runner Listener Race Reports. Send me a photo of your race along with your report to include on the regular blog. In other words, I put the photographs on the 20 Minute Runner page. They scroll through. Written reports are on another blog that I've connected to. But those pictures circulate at the left above race pictures from races that I've run. And my UK friend David Yelland is a little lonely, so I think Connie's going to send me a picture of the half, and we will get that up there ASAP. Also, if you want to send me an MP3 of your race or any other topic, I'll gladly share it on the show, as we did last week. Would you do me a favor and put some comments on iTunes? Give me a review, if you would. We're picking up new listeners regularly, and I need your help to share the 20 Minute Runner podcast with others. And if you could email the blog link to them, I would personally appreciate that. Finally, thanks to Bill Lynn, Matt from the Run Digger Run podcast, Coach Jeff of Power Fit, the running podcast, and Nigel, running from the Reaper podcast, for helping us celebrate last week. The show has been downloaded by quite a number of people. And actually, at this point, for the days it's been out, I've had more downloads for that episode than any of the others. So thanks for your support. And I want to return the favor. Just let me know how. Be glad to do that. Thank you for downloading the show and for listening each week. I just want to remind you, it's a real treat to me, it's an honor to share with you on the virtual road each and every week. And I trust that you're going to keep listening, and you'll share your podcast, share the podcast with your friends, and letting them know that Roland certainly wants to connect with them. And you can do all that via Twitter, send me an email, go to the blog, etc., etc. Main thing, hope you're enjoying the show, and evidently you are, and I appreciate that. Glad to share any comments you send my way via email and or audio file. Don't forget that all the things I mentioned today will be linked in this week's show notes at the blog, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, and you can find links to various things there, as well as listen to past episodes. Last week was our 50th celebration episode. Had a lot of friends to call in on that, and that was really fun. So anyway, just go to the blog, check it out. Send me email about your race, whatever. Glad to hear from you. All right, let me tell you how we did. We ran 8.313 miles, and the average pace for this run was 9:25. So, and that's good. It's been good to have you along as well. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody. See you in 7, 8, 9 days, something like that. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. See you soon. Bye-bye. That wraps up another episode. I'm glad to have you with me. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20runner.blogspot.com. From the blog, you can send me an email, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader, take the monthly survey, or simply look at photographs of recent races and peruse the past episodes of the podcast, including being able to listen to those episodes if you'd like. Remember, all of the music used in this episode can be found at the blog.
All music is used under Creative Commons license. It's been great having you with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 7 or 8 days. Until then, I hope your running's going well, and as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.